Good morning. And Guangyi. Well, I have a little bit of a review, but we are studying how God rules His house. And the word for that is called dispensation. It means a rule. Rules for the church. There were rules for Israel. There was a dispensation or way God ruled Israel. There were rules for Adam. God ruled his house when there was only Adam. The big rule was don't eat the fruit. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. So dispensations are rules, God's rules, and today we're looking at the church. And what we've already found out, that the church is special. The church is different. It's different from Israel. It's different from Adam. It's different from the rules God gave Noah. The day that we live is an age of grace. Grace means that God gives freely. God gives freely. And so God saves you by grace. You trust Jesus. And by grace or by a gift, God gives you eternal life. But God is also ruling in the same way. He's ruling by grace as well. This is also an age of the Spirit, and we will look at that today. It's also an age of witness, a witness where we talk about the Lord Jesus. So the church is a very special age. Now, again, review. This is not the church. All right, that's a house, or that's a building. But the church is all the people who have trusted Jesus. And the Bible says, everyone who trusts Jesus is put in Jesus. That's pretty amazing. God never told the Jewish people when they trusted God for salvation that they were in Jehovah or in the Lord. This is new. This is different. And so the question today, then, if you could be in this building, you could be listening to the Bible this morning and not be in the church. You're in the church if Jesus is in your is your Savior. And God the Holy Spirit, when you trust Jesus as Savior, God the Holy Spirit takes you from being dead, and He baptizes you or puts you inside the Lord Jesus. And so I thought of a good verse that would be a review for us. Let's read 1 John 5:11 and 12. And we'll read it in English first, everybody. And the testimony, witness, is this: that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. And then down here, I hope you see some important words here. What's this word up here? Witness. Witness is the same as testimony. This is the witness that God has given us eternal life. The church is an age of witness. The church is an age of telling people, God has given eternal life. God has given eternal life. Where is the life? According to this verse, where is eternal life? Where is eternal life? There's an in word here that tells you where. The preposition in tells you where the life is. The testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life. That's our witness. And this life is, look, in what, everyone? In His Son. So, if you are in Jesus, you are in life. And this is God's statement in court. And God cannot lie. That's what a witness is. Something that you say that's true. And it's very clear. He who has the Son has the life. You were not born with Jesus. You learn about Jesus when you're young. But at some time in your life, you have to decide, will Jesus be my Savior? When you decide, God puts you in. Before you decide, you're still out. In, out. It's very simple, really. And so the question is, and that's our review, where are you? Are you just in a building, or are you in Jesus Christ? Now remember, dispensations is God rules His house. So dispensations is rules. We talked about the dispensation of innocence when Adam came into the world. And the big test was, don't eat the fruit. And he failed. He ate the fruit. And then under conscience, he says, all right, you know good and evil, do good and evil. And did the world do good and evil? No, they did evil. They didn't sacrifice to God. And God said, the whole earth is filled with violence and wickedness, and He judged the world by flood. And then after Noah, God says, all right, now we will rule by government. And if someone takes someone's life, the government has the authority to take off their head. And also, God gave the commandment to fill the world. And the first thing they did was disobey God. They said, no way, we're staying right here. We're going to build a city. And it's going to have our name on that city. And so once again, God stepped in and He judged. Remember the Tower of Babel? God confused the languages. And everyone started speaking different languages. That makes it hard in church, doesn't it? I wish everyone spoke the same language. What language would it be? I don't know. Maybe Greek. Maybe Hebrew. Maybe in heaven everyone will speak Korean. Do you think? I don't know. Well, wait and see. But one language, but then God said, you sin. And so He separated the languages, so then everyone went all throughout the world, and they filled the world. And then God gave a rule for Abraham. He says, I want you to live. I made promises to you. I promised to give you the land. Your responsibility is to be separate. Separate from your family. And separate from the people where you're living. Don't be like the Canaanites. Don't be like the people from where you came from, your old relatives. Be different. Be separate. Well, right away, Abraham went down to Egypt and got an Egyptian wife. And God punished him with 13 years of silence. And then his children and grandchildren started to marry people who weren't Jewish. They were marrying the Canaanites. And God said, enough. And He punished them. And He sent them to Egypt. And they were in Egypt for 400 years. And while they were in Egypt, it was also a mercy. because God let them grow from 70 people, and they grew to over 1 million people into a large nation. And so, then God gave a law through Moses. And he says, look, this is what holiness is. You shall have no other gods before me. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Don't have other gods. And then he said, rule number two, don't make statues. That's crazy. God is invisible. Don't make statues to worship. And there were other rules too, but right away, Moses was on the mountain, and they made a statue. Not only did Aaron make a statue for them to worship, he said, Israel, these are your gods that brought you out of the land of Egypt. And so they broke commandment number one, they broke commandment number two, and God judged them. And 3,000 people died right away. So you see a pattern, right? There's new rules. There is a test. They flunk the test. They fail. God judges. But with the judgment, there's always some mercy because God is good. It doesn't give them what they really deserve. All right. And so now, we are starting the rules, the dispensation of the church. And God's going to give new information. God is going to give a test. They have to fulfill a responsibility to fulfill. There's going to be failure in the church. I'm sorry. And then there will be judgment, but it will be mixed with mercy. This repeats all the time. Revelation, test, failure, and judgment. God is in the church now going to take some Jewish people and some Gentiles, and he's going to make one body, and that's going to be the church. And so, let's think about the new information or the revelation that's new to the church. And what we're going to do is we're going to read Acts 1, 6 through 11. When we read Acts 1, 6 through 11, this is not all the information. This is a seed of the information. There are a lot of rules for the church. But God's going to give three basic rules that are like seeds for all the other rules. Now, all the rules are developed in the epistles. So there's more rules after this. But these are the rules. This is the test. Will the church do this? So I'm going to read this sheet in English. And I will ask, Hoser, would you like to read in Karen when I'm done? Okay. This is Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. So when they had come together, they were asking him, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? Now right now, Jesus is died, he's raised, and he's ready to return to heaven. But for 40 days, he's teaching his disciples. Now it's time for him to go back to heaven. The last question the disciples ask is, okay, so you're leaving. Are you going to give us the kingdom, the Jewish kingdom back? That's their question. Verse 7, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my, that's Christ's, witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the uttermost part, the remotest part of the earth. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on,
and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking in the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way you have watched him go into heaven.
Three rules. Three basic rules.
Three seed rules. And the first one is the church is to walk in the Spirit. Alright? The second one is the church is to witness, that means talk about Christ. And then the third one, the church is to wait for Christ. Easy, right? Easy rules. Every other rule is built from these three rules. So, let's repeat these three rules. Rule number one is walk in the Spirit. Rule number two, witness for Christ. Rule number three, wait for Christ. Alright? So, rule number one was what? Walk in the Spirit. Alright, rule number one is what? Walk in the Spirit. Alright. Rule number two is witness for Christ. Rule number two, witness for Christ. Rule number one, walk in the Spirit. Rule number two, witness for Christ. Rule number three, wait for Christ. That's pretty easy, isn't it? Rule number three is what? Wait for Christ. Can we put all three together? Number one, walk in the Spirit. Number two, witness for Christ. Number three, wait for Christ. All right, you guys did amazing. Good job. A plus. A plus. Now the test, of course, will we walk? Will we witness? Will we wait? That's the test. Will we keep these three rules? And so, on your paper, you can see that's exactly what God asked them to do. It says, in verse 7, he said, it's not for you to know the times that the Father has fixed. He's saying, it's not time for the kingdom. Jesus will come back. Wait for the kingdom. This is not the kingdom. We're waiting for Jesus. Alright? So, that's the last rule. But then the first rule is you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The Holy Spirit is given to each believer.
And the Holy Spirit is given for power to talk about Jesus. Power to live the Christian life. Nobody got this before. This is new. This is brand new in history. And then the church is to wait. He started out by saying it's not time. And then he ended up by saying that Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come. We're waiting for the coming of the Lord. All right, we're waiting for the coming of the Lord. So how are we going to do? And you have it on your sheet here. Walk, witness, and wait. What does it mean to walk in the Holy Spirit? These verses I do not have in Quran. You can write them down and look them up later. But it means to walk by faith or trust in His Word. You see, the Holy Spirit is the author of this book. He wrote this book through men. And so to walk in the Spirit means that we walk by trusting His words in this book. And so we put our trust, if God tells us to do something, we do it. And so Colossians 2:6 through 7 says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Now I'm stopping. How did I receive Christ Jesus as Lord? Well, I received Him by faith, didn't I? By faith, I received Jesus to save me from my sins. And He did just what He promised. He saved me from my sins when I by faith received Him. He gave me the gift of eternal life when I, by faith, received Him. And Paul in Colossians says, that's how you live the Christian life now. He says, just the same way as you received Christ. Now, what's this word, everyone? Walk in Him. You live in Him, right? You start in Him. Now Paul says you walk in Him, and you walk in the Spirit of God, and you walk in faith. And so it says, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith. And so, let me go back. It means to walk by faith in His Word. Paul goes on to say that it's the Word that we trust. I trusted God's word to save me, didn't I? And Paul says, now I want your mind to be filled with the Bible. I want the Bible to fill your thoughts, your heart, your thinking, your eyes, your head. I want you to be overfilling with the Bible, because these are the words of God the Holy Spirit. And again in Colossians, do you know John 3:16? All right, you can remember Colossians 3:16. It's an important verse. Let the word of Christ, remember it's walk by faith in His word. Let the word of Christ richly dwell or live within you with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to the Lord. What happens when God's word lives in my heart, in my mind, and it fills my life? I sing. I teach. I give thanks to God. Now, what does the Holy Spirit have to do with this? The Bible, the Bible, the Bible. Where is the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is the author. So Paul says the same thing in a different way. Look at, oops, I'm sorry, I abbreviated it. That's Ephesians, Epesu. This is Ephesians 5:18 through 19. Paul says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. Now here's the important part.
Let's read this, everybody together. But be filled with the Spirit. And then he says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. And he goes on and says, always giving thanks. Paul said, be filled with the Word, didn't he? But here he says the same thing. That's being filled with the Spirit. You don't pray, God, fill me with your Spirit. And then God fills you with the Spirit. The only way you're filled with the Spirit is if you're filled with the words of the Spirit. This book needs to begin your day. You need to be filled with this word before every day. At the end of the day, you need to end the day by filling up with the Bible again before you go to bed. And then you know what's going to happen? God will have a word for you. He will speak to you because you have let Him speak to you. The Word of God is living. This book is alive. It's living. It's active. That means that it works. It's sharp. That means that it cuts away everything in my life that's worthless and keeps only the good. You stand by this book as a Christian, or you fall because you did not read this book. And so, that when we say walk in the Spirit, it's walking in the Word of Christ or the Word of God. Does that make sense? I hope that's clear. Some other things. Walking means you are reading and by faith obeying the words of the Spirit in the Bible. Easy. How did you begin your Christian life? Paul says it again in a different way. This is Galatians. So let's read the whole verse together, right from Galatians. Galatians 5:25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Alright, so he keeps giving this rule over and over. Walk by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit. How did you start life as a Christian? You trusted the Lord Jesus. God the Holy Spirit washed your sins away, and God the Holy Spirit took you out of death and put you into life. He gave you a new birth. That's what the Spirit does, and He is the author of the Bible. And so if that's how you started, Paul says, that's how we continue, by the Spirit. Walking, it should have an S on it. This is very bad English. Don't look at this. Walking keeps you, okay? Walking keeps you, because this is used as a third person singular. Walking keeps you under grace and not law. You know, the Jewish people were under the Ten Commandments. But we are under grace. That means we are always in God's favor. We are always having the gift. It will never be taken away. So, he says in Galatians 5:18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Some people try so hard to keep the Ten Commandments. And God is not asking you to keep the Ten Commandments. He's asking you, if you're saved, look for Christ in the Bible. Be filled with God's Word. And out of your life, you will walk for God. If this Bible, what's commandment number 8? You shall not steal. Do you know what? If these words are in your heart and these words are in your head, and these words are before your eyes, you don't want to steal. Why would you steal? My father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I don't need a rule that says don't steal. I won't steal because I'm under grace. Well, there's a lot of other rules, but you know what? When the Bible and God's Spirit fills your heart, you don't have 10 rules to keep. You do because you love the Lord, and God the Holy Spirit living within you directs you. Now, walking keeps you under grace. Walking is the way you began your Christian life. Walking keeps you away from what? Sin. Do you want to sin? No, you don't, I hope. You don't want to sin. So how do you keep from sin? Well, Galatians 5:16 says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire, that's my appetite, of the flesh. All right? When I'm mad, I want to hit you. But guess what? If I'm walking by the Spirit, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to love you. So, that's the rule for the church. Well, can we remember the rules now? Then rule number one is easy. It's what? Walk by the Spirit. Number two is witness for Christ. Number three is wait for Christ. All right, so we got that. Oh, here we go. Walk in the Spirit, witness for Christ, wait for Christ. All right, now, how do we witness for Christ? Well, that's easy. We tell. Wow. That English doesn't even make sense. That is a terrible sentence. Craig gets an F in English for the day. We tell others about Christ. Get the one in there. We tell others about Christ. That's what we just say what's true. Did Jesus save you? Tell someone. It's the truth. We tell others what Christ has done for us. We witness. We're going to have a campfire. September 13th, we're going to have a campfire. And anyone, men or women or children, everyone can stand up and say, this is what Christ did for me. And we can witness to each other. Tell each other how wonderful Jesus is. And we can witness or tell people who don't know Jesus. Let me tell you how wonderful Jesus is. He saved me from my sin. What about your sin? Are you still dead? So, that's just telling. Now, the other thing was, with this command, the seed command, was they were to spread out. Didn't he say, beginning at Jerusalem, right? And then Samaria, and then to the remote parts of the earth. So this is it. We're at the remote part of the earth right now. Part of telling was going. All right? Now, this is the funny thing. Did the church obey? No. Right away, the leaders of the church stayed in Jerusalem. They weren't going to leave Jerusalem because they were Jewish and that was their home. And so God says, I'll tell you what. He raised up a man named Paul. Paul started killing Christians in Jerusalem and arresting them and putting them in jail. And so all the Christians scattered. They started running all over the Roman Empire, all over the world. So, the church failed to spread, and so God scattered the church. It was just like the Tower of Babel. Remember after the flood, they said, we're not leaving, we're going to build a city. We're going to name it after ourselves. So the apostles and those who were with the apostles said, we're comfortable in Jerusalem. And God said to Babel and God said to Jerusalem, scatter! And God helped them And so this is the verse. It's really good. I love this verse. But Saul began ravaging. That means tearing to pieces. Paul began tearing the church to pieces, entering house after house and dragging off men and women. And he would put them in prison. And not only that, he killed some. And therefore, those who had been scattered, what did they do? They went about preaching the word or witnessing, right? God helped them, but the first step out was because they failed to be witnesses for Christ. Failure number one is they failed to be witnesses, so God helped them and he sent them out where they could be effective witnesses for themselves. And so, number three was wait for Christ. So, let's read these again. Everyone, walk in the Spirit, wait for Christ, witness for Christ. All right, try it again. Walk in the Spirit, witness for Christ, wait for Christ. Okay, very good. How do we wait for Christ? Well, remember they started out by saying, is it at this time you will restore the kingdom? God said, I'm not telling you. I want you to witness. And when Jesus comes back, the Father will decide. Very interesting. They're waiting for Christ. The Father will bring him in. And the Spirit will help them live life while they're waiting. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all working in the church to help us obey these three rules, responsibilities. So, anyway, let me read this one because I love this verse. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait. That means really, really wait. We really, really wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conform. He's going to make my body like his body. That's what I'm waiting for. When I see Jesus come back, he's going to change me. And I will be like him. And I'm waiting because my citizenship is not in the United States. My citizenship is in heaven. And I'm eagerly waiting. So, we don't build a kingdom on earth like the apostles would have done. Like the Catholic Church has built a kingdom on earth with fortresses and basilicas and earthly priesthoods. It's an example of the majority of Christians trying to involve themselves in politics and building a kingdom on earth. But they're not the only group that has done it. And we live our life for heaven. So, by the way, our time is up. The church veiled. Next time we get together, I want to look at two key failures. But right away we know that the church failed to witness and God scattered them, just like the Tower of Babel. So was there a mercy in that judgment when Saul tore the church to pieces? Some Christians died. Was there a mercy when some Christians died? Oh, yes, there was. Because when those Christians died, the rest of the Christians went throughout the world preaching the word, witnessing for the Lord Jesus. And the church was built up and established because of that initial failure and judgment. God can always turn something bad into good for you. You might be saying, God has punished me for something. I did something wrong. You know, you ask God, you say, God, I've done something wrong. And Jesus died for that something wrong. In fact, I probably did more wrong than I can think of. Father, thank you for Jesus dying for that wrong. I want it to be used so I can witness, so I can walk in the Spirit, and so I can wait for the Lord Jesus.
change it into a mercy for me. Change it into a mercy